Like I said, tonight we are going to look at Psalm 4, a Psalm of David. And I will read through Psalm 4. Hear me when I call, O God of my righteousness. You have relieved me in my distress. Have mercy on me and hear my prayer. How long, O you sons of men, will you turn my glory to shame? How long will you love worthlessness and seek falsehood? But know that the Lord has set apart for himself him who is godly. The Lord will hear when I call to him. Be angry and do not sin. Meditate within your heart on your bed and be still. Offer the sacrifices of righteousness and put your trust in the Lord. There are many who say, who will show us any good? Lord, lift up the light of your countenance upon us. You have put gladness in my heart, more than in the season that their grain and wine increased. I will both lie down in peace and sleep. For you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. Congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, it is good to have habits and routines in life. And one of the best habits to have is probably to begin and end the day with prayer. A prayer to our God. When we wake up in the morning, the best thing that we can do to start with is pray to the Lord. Because prayer in the morning reminds us that the Lord is always there. And that we are to live for him. And that we are to seek his guidance for everything in our lives. I once heard an analogy, or is it when you have the letters of a word and you can fit something in it to remind it. It is an anagram, that was the word. And I once heard the one where you can use first. Actually, if you want to put God first in your life, then put him first in your finances, put him first in your interests, put him first in your relationships, put him first in your schedules, and put him first in your troubles. And also when you begin the day and you look at these activities, it's good to start with prayer and put these things before God, to ask his guidance, to seek his guidance. And prayer in the evening, before we go to bed, reminds us that God will watch over us through the night and that we can rest assured in him. And Psalm 3 and 4 have been called morning and evening prayers, respectively. In Psalm 3, verse 5, David writes, I lay down and slept. I awoke, for the Lord sustained me. And in Psalm 4, verse 8, we read, I will both lie down in peace and sleep, for you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. And perhaps these psalms have been placed next to each other because they refer to the morning and the evening, to getting up and to going to bed. And we know that David wrote Psalm 3 when his son Absalom rebelled against him as a king, that he had to flee for his life from Jerusalem. We don't know when he wrote Psalm 4. Some commentators believe that it reflects the same situation. Others suggest it came from the time when David had to run from Saul. We don't really know what gave rise to this psalm. And that's actually true for many of the psalms. We don't always know the original circumstances. We don't always know the background or the situation in which it was first written. And it actually doesn't really matter. Because the psalms have a general application to a whole variety of circumstances happening in our lives. And they apply to us in many situations. And they speak to us as clearly as they spoke to the people of Israel back in the day when they were written. And in this psalm, David expressed his joy and the rest in the Lord when many were against him. So today, it may encourage you to find joy and rest in the Lord when we find ourselves in difficult situations. And in these words, David spoke, firstly, he addressed God. He spoke to God. Secondly, he spoke to his enemies. Thirdly, he spoke to the people of Israel. And he finalizes his prayer again when he addresses the Lord. So first of all, he addresses his prayer. He addresses the Lord. And the psalm begins with a cry to the Lord. It says, "Hear me when I call, O God of my righteousness." This was his prayer. He was in a situation of difficulty. Many people had turned against him. And they were turning his glory into shame, as it says in verse 2. His enemies were slandering him and were opposed to him. So in his distress, he called to God and pleaded for him to hear. And David's prayer reminds us that when we are in trouble, we too should cry out to the Lord. And the problem might be that we don't always get an answer straight away. Sometimes our prayers seem to bounce back from heaven. We aren't sure that they have reached the Lord. And David also felt that some at times, which is reflected in other psalms. But here David reminded himself and the Lord of the basis for his prayer, because he called the Lord, "O God of my righteousness." He reminded himself who God was. He recalled God's character. God is righteous. This is who he is, and this is what he would do. He would do what was right. And the word righteous also has the idea that God is reliable. He is trustworthy. He is faithful. He will keep his promises. He will help his people. And we too need to remember this. Because yes, sometimes it seems as though God is far away. Sometimes it seems that our prayers don't get past that ceiling. But the Lord is there. And he is righteous. He is reliable. He hears your prayers. And he will answer you. And as he began his prayer, David also reminded himself that God had heard and answered him in the past. He says in verse 2. In verse 1. "You have relieved me in my distress." God had helped him in the past. And so David had no doubt that he would help him again. And that might be the same with our own prayers. Sometimes we wonder, is God listening? Then look back in your own life, when you might have been in the same situation. And then see what God did in your life. If he heard your prayers, or maybe things worked out in a different way than you had expected. God is in control. And this phrase, "You have relieved me in my distress," is even more striking in the Hebrew text. Because the word distress is literally the word for a narrow or a tight place. And the word translated as relief means to extend or to enlarge. David was cornered. He was in a tight corner and the Lord had enlarged his space. He had been hemmed in and God had given him room again to move. And I noticed that this morning when I was driving from Chelmsford to Bury. And you see the space when you're here in the countryside. the horizon seems to be so wide. And again, the Lord can do this for you spiritually. When you feel hemmed in, He can enlarge your space. When you are running out of options, He might open up new opportunities. So David began his psalm by addressing the Lord in prayer. And we need to do the same. And then secondly, if we look at verses 2 to 5, David addressed his enemies. Because these people who opposed him were within Israel. They knew the Lord. They were part of the covenant community. But they opposed David, and they had turned away from the Lord. David tried to reason with them, and he appealed to them. And he asked them a question in verse 2. How long, O sons of men, will you turn my glory to shame? How long will you love worthlessness and seek falsehood? And the word worthlessness, worthlessness can also be described as vanity or emptiness, which might remind you of the theme of the book of Ecclesiastes. And the word translated as falsehood is literally the word for lies. Some people of Israel had turned away from the Lord and were chasing delusions. They trusted in things that were worthless. They were chasing after the wind. They relied on the gods of the nations, which were no gods at all. They had sold their souls for something useless and trivial. So David asked them, how long are you going to do this? How long before you wake up and realize how futile this is? And this is a penetrating question that is worth asking of all the people of the world. A famous preacher in the early church named Chrysostom, and he lived in 347, spoke about this. He said, if he were the most able preacher in the world to deliver a sermon to all the people of the world gathered together in one congregation, and if he had some high mountain as a pulpit, and if he had a voice of brass as loud as the trumpets of the archangel, so that all the world could hear him, he would choose this text to preach. He would preach on the question, how long will you love worthlessness and seek falsehood? This is a powerful and searching question. And we should ask this of people today and of ourselves. Because many are seeking happiness in money and wealth, or in ambition and success. Many are deceived, thinking that they can find satisfaction through parties and sex, through alcohol and drugs. And then there are others who are seeking the false gods of the New Age, the gods of crystals and reincarnation, and Eastern meditative techniques. And then there are still others that believe they can find solutions to their lives in technology and education. So today too, we can ask the people of our society and our world, how long will you seek happiness in things that are empty? And look for meaning in the lies of this age. When will you wake up? And what about you? Are you loving worthlessness? Are you seeking falsehood? We can ask ourselves the same question David asked. And David also gave the people a reminder in verse 3. Know that the Lord has set apart for himself who is godly. Here is the truth of God's election. God has chosen a people for himself and has set them apart to be his own. That was true in the Old Testament and is true in these New Testament times. We are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, as Peter writes in his letter. The people of the world may ignore the church. They may mock us. They may ridicule us or even persecute us. But they need to know that the Lord has set apart the godly for himself. And we need to know that too. We need to remind ourselves of this great truth. This is who we are. Let's not forget this. So David asked a question of his enemies. He gave him a reminder. And he also gave him some advice. In verse 4, we read, "Be angry and do not sin." The word translated as anger is the Hebrew word for be agitated, or to tremble, or to quiver. And people tremble either out of fear or out of anger. Here David advised his enemies to tremble before the Lord, to stand in awe of God, to consider what they were doing, and to humble themselves. And he went on to say, "Meditate within your heart on your bed and be still." And I noted already that this is an evening psalm. And sometimes when we go to bed and we can't sleep, we lie awake in our beds. And sometimes we might wander off. Sometimes we might just worry about the future. Well, David advises us here to use this time more profitably. Use it to examine yourself. Talk to yourself as you lie in bed. In the quietness and stillness of the night, ask yourself questions. Search your heart. Go to the core of your being. Examine the center of your life. Look over your motives and your attitudes. Review your thoughts and ideas. Evaluate your goals and hopes and plans. And when you've done all that, be still before the Lord. Tremble before him and recognize him as God. Stop your busyness and agitation and worry and fluster and be silent before the Lord. Recognize him as the Almighty God. And follow that by obeying the Lord, as we read in verse 5. Offer the sacrifices of righteousness and put your trust in the Lord. The people of Israel were commanded to offer sacrifices for their sin. Those had to be genuine. Many in Israel offered sacrifices because that was the thing to do. But it was only a formality and a mere habit. Psalm 51 says, "The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. These, O God, you will not despise." Those sacrifices are pointing forward to the Lord Jesus, who is the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. And to trust in the Lord today is to trust in Jesus and in his death on the cross. Your only hope is his death and resurrection. It is through him that God will forgive your sins and wash you clean. You need to trust in the Lord. You need to believe in Jesus Christ as the only hope of being right with God. What David said to the people of his day is also addressed to us in our day. Offer right sacrifices and trust in the Lord. And then thirdly, if we look at verse 6, David spoke to all men and women. He addressed the people of the world. He asked the question, "Who will show us any good?" And the word "any" is not in the Hebrew text, which makes the question more pointed. Who will show us good? And David expressed a question that was in the minds of many people in Israel. This was obviously a time of uncertainty and anxiety. People were seeking a purpose and direction. They were looking for meaning and certainty. They wanted to know what was good and what would bring them happiness. And this is no different in the people's minds today. It is a general question that all thinking people have asked through all the ages. It is a question that should occur to all the people of the world, no matter where they live, or what job they do, or where they study. It is a question that is fundamental, that is basic. It is a question you must ask and answer. Who can show us good? And David answered that question in the next line. Lord, lift up the light of your countenance upon us. In the NIV, it is described with, let the light of your face shine upon us. And you can tell a lot how a person feels about you by looking at his face or her face. Some people might have a poker face, but others have a face that you can read like a book. Last week I heard someone speak on body language, and I must say it was fascinating to sit in the audience and to hear what we actually show in our body language. Mostly we're unaware of it. And after 10 minutes I felt really uncomfortable, because the speaker was just looking at the audience and he could just see. And at one moment you didn't know how to sit because of what he had said. And with many people you can say, when you look at their face, if they're happy or unhappy. But God is a spirit, so he doesn't have a physical form, so we can't see his face. But this is a manner of expressing God's favor and kindness towards us. This is a prayer for the light and sunshine of God's grace. And in response to the question about what is good, David tells us that the supreme good is to be found in the favor and friendship of God. You can come to know that through Jesus, who came as the light of the world. That is what we looked at this morning. It is in and through Jesus that the light of God's face shines upon you. We read in 2 Corinthians 4 verse 6, for it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Have you seen the glory of God in the face of Christ? The same question as I asked this morning. Are you living in the light? Because that is the only way to know what is good. That is the only way to know the goodness of God. And finally, at the close of this psalm, David spoke again to the Lord. And verse 7 is a beautiful expression of joy. You have put gladness in my heart, more than in the season that their grain and wine increased. The Lord had put joy in his heart, joy in the center of his being, in the core of his life. He found more happiness in the Lord than could be found in the greatest prosperity the world could give him. The Apostle Paul put this in the New Testament terms when he wrote to the Christians in Philippi, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. And realize, when Paul writes that, he is in prison in Rome. He had been shipwrecked, he had been ranceled, stoned, and there wasn't really sight that he would be released from prison. And he says, rejoice in the Lord always. Are you doing that? Are you rejoicing in the Lord? Do you find more joy in the Lord than in all prosperity and riches the world has to offer? Has the Lord put this joy in your heart? And then verse 8 is a beautiful expression of trust in the Lord. I will both lie down in peace and sleep. For you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. This is the closing statement of this evening prayer. And when he went to bed at night, David could lie down and sleep in peace. Yes, there was trouble around him. His enemies opposed him. The future was unclear. The people of Israel were chasing delusions and lies. But David was unafraid. He trusted in the Lord. He could lie down, calm and composed. He could rest and sleep because he knew the Lord was there and God would keep him safe. He knew that God would answer him when he called. He knew that God had set apart the godly for himself and that the Lord would let the light of his face shine upon him. And this isn't just for David. You can know this too. This is for every believer. No matter what is going on in your lives, you wake up in the morning because the Lord has sustained you. Psalm 3 verse 5. And at night, you can lie down and sleep in peace because God allows you to dwell in safety. Take that with you in your lives and trust in the Lord. Amen. Let's pray. Almighty God, Heavenly Father, we thank you for your saving grace to us. We thank you that with David we can trust in you. We thank you for the examples you have given throughout the Bible as examples for our lives. We thank you that even David, when he was distressed, when he was attacked by his own people, that he still trusted in you and that he could lie down and sleep in peace. Lord, we pray that when we go from here into our own lives in the week ahead, that we are reminded of that time and time again. That when we are facing challenges in our lives, when we are distressed, when we are concerned about work or health, Lord, that we focus our hearts on you. We pray that you work with your Spirit in our hearts, that we are being reminded of that time on time again, that we don't have to do it alone, but that you are looking after us. Lord, we pray that when we go from here, that you go with us, that you help us with the things that we have to do. And Lord, we ask you to hear our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.